This is a free Off The Ball podcast. For access to the best GAA analysis from the likes of Tommy Walsh, Richie Hogan, Seamus Flanagan, Sarah O'Donovan, Pat Ryan, Jim Gavin, Darren O'Sullivan, Stephen Rochford and David Hyland, become an Off The Ball member today.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Saturday panel on Off The Ball.
You're very welcome back to Off The Ball Saturday. Phil Egan with you here until 5 o'clock. Tomorrow is the All-Ireland Camogie Final. We've got the senior decider between Galway and Cork. It's part three. One win apiece. Galway won it last year by a point. And to look ahead to this, I'm delighted to say we've got Dublin's Aisling Mar in studio and former All-Ireland winner with Galway, Aoife Linsky. You're very welcome. How are you doing?
Thanks very much for having us.
Thank you for coming in.
I got lost actually coming up. I'm like sent to Aisling there. I needed a stress
level. Yeah, just bring you in a little bit closer.
Yeah. But thanks a million for having us.
Oh, yeah, no, it's great to have you in studio. It's just All-Ireland final weekend, and I think like it's a, I don't know what it's like around the country weather-wise, but in Dublin it's a beautiful Saturday afternoon. Looks like it's going to be like that tomorrow as well, which always helps. I'm sure you'd rather play in dry conditions.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you do the hard slog, don't you, over the winter, and you do the wet weather and you do all of those heavy fields, and then everyone's just looking forward to getting into the summer. So thankfully the girls will have had a good run now of that dry weather. Like, they've had the hard pitches, balls moving fast. Obviously it always moves quicker in Croke Park anyway, nice big open pitch. But no, it'll be interesting to see. Hopefully the weather will just stay out of the picture.
Yeah, see, we're used to this weather, Aoife, but like my wife is from the west of Ireland and it's a different climate over there. And she's even further. She's out in Achill Island where... that's just a different climate altogether.
But we've been having fairly good weather now. We're ready for Cork, and for years, Cork always had good weather. But like, as Aisling said there, everyone's weathered to it now. The ball will be moving fast. It always is in Croke Park. So it was good that they all got kind of warm weather training before the big day. But it's where you want to be. Kind of August, September, like, it's going to be a cracker.
Yeah, just on the dates, obviously, because things have changed in the last few years. And it was something that Andy Moran brought up before the Mayo-Kerry final, that actually it's a shorter run-up to the final. Mm. There's less talk about it. I'd say in one sense, the managers, it's great that there's less talk coming out of the camp. I'd say both managers, though, Ger Manley and Colin Murray, were thinking, wouldn't have minded a couple more weeks because of the injuries.
Well, definitely. I know in Galway there was a couple of injuries, and I know Cork has... especially on their substitute bench, you know, the girls that would be coming in, but most of them have cleared up in Galway, and except Sabina Rabbit, she's definitely out. She has a thumb injury and she had a surgery on it, so she's definitely out. But other than that, no, they have a good bill of health. We were at their open training session there last week, and they're going at it hammer and tongs, and they're ready for it now, I think. Yep.
Yeah. Do you think there'll be a few little twists, Aisling?
There's always a few little twists, isn't there?
Both teams unchanged from their semi-final.
Yeah. Do we believe it?
It's always something that, if you're ever covering a final when you're reporting on it, you look to see, is there a number outside the 1 to 15?
Yeah, you're waiting for the parade. Look at everyone in the warm-up. See, is there a subs game and a starters game that's going on? Who's switched across?
We've seen people step into parades and step out.
Yeah. No, it'll be interesting to see. Look, I think both managers, but particularly Cathal Murray, is well weathered in finals and media and everything else at this stage, isn't he? Even obviously Seanna Healy going up and doing the media day there for the launch of Camogie at the start. Like, there'll be something, there'll be a twist somewhere along the way, whether that's in a change in the first 15, whether that's in a change in positions on the pitch, who knows. But I don't think the Cork girls will be naive to that either. I think they'll be expecting something to be a bit different. I doubt we see the 15 from Cork in the semi and the 15 from Galway in the semi going out against each other. I'm sure there'll be some changes.
Just on that, Aoife, I did see Seanna on the TV during the week talking about it. Like, great story that she's back in.
Yeah,
you know, 4 months since she had her second child. And, you know, we don't know if she's going to play a part tomorrow, but it does seem like a nice thing for her to be able to do, to talk about what it's like to come back, but also for Colin Murray to say, look, you go up to Dublin there and take care of the media
stuff. Take the pressure off.
Yeah, it was.
Someone said it was a genius PR move because it does take it away from the fact that the game is kind of, like, they're getting ready for the game in the background. I don't know, will she play any part? I don't think so, but with Cathal Murray, you never know. He could pop her off. I don't know if she's ready yet, but it's nice for her to be there and, you know, an experienced voice kind of with the girls there, but it was definitely a genius move on his part, because now all the pressure is kind of away from what was happening with the team.
Yeah,
and because it's so tight between the two teams and this rivalry, which all sports need a good rivalry, and we've got one here, you have to find little things, and you're trying to reinvent the wheel all the time.
Well, I think both managers are probably, you know, playing a little bit of off each other, and I've mentioned it already, they're both saying how great each other is and how great the team, both the teams are, which they are, like, you know.
Yeah.
But you have to kind of do that, and you're sort of half playing it down. Nobody wants the favourites tag, but possibly Galway may have it slightly because they won last year and they won the league this year, but nobody wants that tag either. But there's no pressure on Cork, you know. I don't think there's any pressure on Cork, and Galway won't, you know, they won't be disillusioned. They're used to finals as well, and they're well able to finish out a game, so it'll be interesting to see what happens on both sides with both managers as well.
What's it like in Galway for the build up to a final? Like, even thinking back to when you had the experience yourself, and I said you probably did have more of a lead up to the final when you were playing.
Yeah, there was a couple of more weeks that, you know, even for injuries to clear up and kind of for yourself. But I do remember a couple of times when we'd be in All Ireland, and sometimes there was 3 weeks, and another time there was 4 weeks because matches would come in between. But it's nicer in a way sometimes to get in there quicker, because a lot of the time you'll be thinking about it so much, you'll be wasting good energy thinking about, you know, the match and whatnot. But for injuries and stuff like that, another week would have done, definitely Galway and Cork, you know, for the substitutes coming in and for the girls starting, just to give them a little bit of extra time to recover. But I think as a player, sometimes you want it played, you know, you're gunning for it.
Yeah, so were you somebody that maybe thought about it too much? Like, say, go back to your first one. You're so young when you were playing, like, you were 16.
Yeah, we were, like, you know, I didn't even, like, I thought this was going to be kind of, you know, every year. And even the year after we got them, we lost it again. And it was always kind of Cork, Galway. And after we won in 96, it was like, oh, this is brilliant. Galway's on the map now. But didn't happen again until, you know, 2013, sorry. So it does take a while. You think it's going to happen as a young girl. You think it's going to happen every year, and it won't, you know, it won't happen. But no, I don't think you think about it too much. You do look forward to the game and you want to win, but you might put pressure on yourself to win. But they're well seasoned to it now, both teams.
How do you handle that situation, even family and friends around you? Like, do you be trying to keep your distance from everyone?
Well, it's different. It's different now, I suppose. Everything is so kind of professional now. There's so many people around. You're used to meeting people, and people come in to see the training sessions and stuff like that. And in terms of, like, tickets and stuff like that, it's not really, you know, it's not that big of a deal. Everybody can kind of get a ticket. It's just more people encouraging you and, like, well-wishers, I think. And we hope that there'll be a big, massive crowd out tomorrow for both sides. I know there's a massive push now on attendance coming for tomorrow, but again, there's six counties there tomorrow, so it is a long day. But it's, I think, a good thing that they brought back the final by, I think it's about 45 minutes since last year, because it was such a long day from, like, you know, half 11, 12 o'clock till up on 5:15.
Three matches. Would you do the three matches as a...
Pack the sandwiches in your grand.
That's a lot of
sandwiches.
It's
a big bag.
That's a lot of sandwiches. Like, that's two bags.
That's two bags, yeah. And a rucksack.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you be able to get in there now at 11:30 tomorrow and
do the three games? Well, it is a long day. It's a lot of games, and obviously, you know, with the space in between them as well, it's the time in between nearly that
stretch the legs.
Yeah, it does push it. It definitely does. But you'd hope, like, I mean, I'm from Dublin, so it's nearly easier when you're not traveling to.
You'd nearly
games,
go home and then come back in.
Go ahead, man. Yeah, three tickets to get me through the day. Go home for lunch in between.
Yeah.
It's easier when you don't have a big journey on the start of the end, but it is a long day when you consider the times that people are leaving to get to the first game, especially if they're travelling long distances, and then to hang around for the ones afterwards. But it's also a huge day in the calendar, right?
Yeah.
They're going to be brilliant matches, and hopefully the atmosphere will get through, and you know, people will want to be around for them.
And that's it. Like, the other two finals, like, the players in those, they deserve their day out in Croke Park, because, you know, you look at the hurling final and the men's football final, they were standalone fixtures. And sometimes the tension in the stadium before that starts, and they try and put in entertainment. And I don't know if the entertainment thing works for Irish people. I think we're just...
a bit too Irish for it.
Yeah. We don't like being told, you have to enjoy this.
Yeah.
If you just leave us to our own devices, we could probably enjoy it anyway. But if you're being told to cheer at things and... sometimes we're a little bit precious. Like,
Yeah. It's a bit American, isn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't really
fit with the GAA.
No, I know. And they're probably trying to, you know, putting out T-shirts and stuff. Like, the kids do love that.
Yeah.
And a bit of music in between. But it is long. But like you said, there's six different counties there. Mm. They'll come and support those. And they might stay on the junior, premier junior, might stay on for a bit of the intermediate. But a lot of the time, the junior counties will kind of have obviously set sail before the senior final will take place, you know. But you mentioned the hurling final there. I used to love when the minor final was on before it, and it was nice, and that filled the gap.
Yeah, but it was also, you'd go home with your programme and you'd think, you've watched the minor final and thought, the full forward for that team was, like, I saw David Clifford playing in the minor final for Kerry. Mm. He scored 4 goals. It's like, he's going to be good.
He's not bad.
You got there first, did you?
I think the cat was out of the bag a long time before that.
Yeah, it is. And it's difficult, right? Because like you look at Cavan, for example, and the year that they've had and being in that junior final, like, it's unbelievable for them to have gone from not competing in a league to getting to play a huge game in Croke Park. So you wouldn't want to take the junior games out for that reason. It could be a huge lift and a huge boost to the sport in those counties. Is it the right answer to play the three of them back to back? Could you make a bigger deal out of the senior game by having a standalone? I'd say that's still up for debate. I'm not fully convinced that, like, the three games in a row is the way to do it. But that said, I don't like the idea of taking the junior and inter games out of Croke Park either. So I don't know. Is there space for being a bit more innovative? We're talking about integration and stuff coming down the line. Would you get to a point where you play a double header between LGFA and Camogie senior games and then have another day where you play the inters and the juniors for the two of them? Mm. Maybe something like that is the way to go in the future. Like, we see the attendance drop massively in the LGFA final last week, and there probably is a little bit of fatigue of all Ireland finals of playing the four on the trot, you know. Mm. By the time you get to Camogie, you've had 4 weekends in a row of big matches in Croke Park, and maybe gets a bit difficult to keep up the interest and the intensity, and people are going on holidays and stuff. And some of the other
ones drop thing up as well. Like, it definitely is a cost, no matter what you say.
Galway this year.
Yeah.
Like, you're coming up for 3 finals.
I know, yeah.
I mean, and people say, isn't it a pity about you?
Pity about us is right. And we were up supporting Mayo as well, because the Galway 2001 team, it was their Jubilee. So Alan Kane, my husband, actually, they were receiving their Jubilee the day of the Mayo final. So it was a great thing. But we've been up and doubling, up and down, up and down. Pity about us is right. Yeah, like,
and actually, you know, that was that actual moment as well was for the Clancy family. It was really touching as well.
It was unbelievable. Like, because I think when there's no love lost sometimes between Mayo and Galway, but it was just so touching that when Finn, he came out, you know, on behalf of his dad, Paul, and the whole place stood up.
Yeah.
You know, it took a couple of seconds for them to realise what was happening, and then the whole place stood up and was clapping. It was just really, really nice for Johanna, his wife, and
everything.
Lovely tribute to him. Mm-hmm. So sad, like.
Yeah, absolutely. And everything great about the GAA, that community. Just on that, the integration, like, that's kind of like we're hoping next year, but that's definitely it's definitely a conversation to have when the integration does eventually come in about maybe the two finals.
Yeah, I just say I think there could be an argument for it there. Like, you know, you're talking about two of the biggest female sporting events in the country. Mm. You've 30,000 at each of them. You put the two of them together and suddenly you create a 60,000-70,000 attendance at games. Mm. You think of the atmosphere that builds. You think of the demand for tickets it builds. I think you'd easily sell out Croke Park if you got a couple of years of that. Just switch the order. I don't know, play Camogie first 1 year and LGFA first the next year. And it's maybe a bit more of a balance of two big games without the big long day of all three. And you've got hopefully up to 4 counties then still competing in it. So,
the only thing I'm just thinking,
if there's a dual player, I was just thinking there isn't too many. They're a dying breed.
I don't know if the future of Camogie and LGFA is dual players. Like, you see, it's gone completely in the men's game, and it's, I'm trying to think of anyone who's still doing it in the women's game. There was obviously the few in Cork, but even like Libby Coppinger's not doing it anymore. Orla Cahalan's not. Hannah's not.
Katrina Conklin used to do it in Galway, but it's getting harder because you're falling between a stone, because
you're trying to train them
and like I think we've got to a point with Camogie and LGFA whereas previously, you know, some of the top athletes would have got away with doing it where they would have missed a session a week for both and maybe trained 4 times across the week. But I don't think there's any player in the country now with the standard that female intercounty teams are gone to who gets into a first 15 if they're not training every day of the week
in both
that the
teams,
team is out.
Yeah.
So if you're not going to be there the full time, you're putting yourself on the back foot. So I think it's probably becoming unsustainable.
Yeah, just on Croke Park itself as a venue, what's it like to play there?
I'm sure it's like the Holy Grail, really, isn't it?
Can you remember your first time walking out of Croke Park for a match?
I think when I came to a match, it was like just trying to sneak a little bit of the grass, you know, and I brought home a bit of grass in my pocket. Like, I think it could have been a couple of years back when Mayo footballers were playing, the Galway hurlers were in a minor final, and it was actually on the same day as the football, one of the football matches. I don't know if it was a final now. Well, it could have been with Mayo, actually. They were probably in a final, but I remember just sneaking a little bit of grass. So yeah, that was my first touch, and then obviously it was with kind of the seniors, and then we got games with like intermediates, club. You know, you just love to get there. I don't think it's as big of a deal now. Like it wouldn't, like it's brilliant to play there, but you wouldn't be getting stressed about playing there, if you know what I mean. It's just lovely to say, yeah, you've played in Croke Park, and they're opening it up to younger kids. You know, they come on to Croker and all.
Yeah,
this.
And
even for the social camogie, they'll get a chance at halftime. So it is lovely to have our, you know, national stadium open there. But it's not. People aren't as scared to be playing there. It's just another game and another pitch, but class to play there. At the same time. What do you think, Ash?
No, she was from Galway. I haven't had nearly as many runs out in Croke Park.
No, we haven't had too many now, don't worry.
Yeah.
Lost more than we won.
At least you were getting there. I've played twice there now. Mm. And like, even at that, there'd be a lot on our Dublin team now that I'd have never played there. Now, it is great, like the quarterfinals obviously being there for the last couple of years makes a huge difference, gives girls an opportunity to get in there. And you know, like more and more camogie players as they come up will get to play there at some point during their careers. I'd love to see more games in there. I'd love to see, you know, us moving more towards some double headers and things like that. Hopefully again when integration happens we can line up fixture calendars better next year. and get more games in earlier, because like obviously it's great to have the quarters there now, but there's no round games for LGFA or camogie played there at all, I don't think. Maybe a Leinster final for the ladies footballers, and that's about it.
Is there a cost thing though? Because I remember trying to push this for the, you know, the schools All-Ireland finals, because the lads schools final does be played in Croke Park, but it came down to, they said it was like 50 or 60,000 just to open the doors. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to make that back. So it is like, realistically, it is a money thing, but if the integration happens,
if you can do it as a double header, you see, this is it. If you can do it when it's open anyway or something like that,
exactly.
there has to be investment into the promotion of the games to grow it as
true.
Well, I suppose.
Yeah, I can actually even remember going to see my sister play in Croke Park. It was a Cumann na Bun School final.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Early 90s. And I think she could have been one of the first girls to lift a cup in Croke Park.
Oh, brilliant.
Because it just opened up, and I remember we went to watch it. There's a video of it somewhere. She's hidden it though. Like a VHS, because she doesn't want anyone to see it.
Oh, get it out.
Yeah, but it's there somewhere. We'll find it. But it's just to get to play and walk on the pitch. And you mentioned being like, when I first went to Croke Park, we were able to get onto the pitch after matches. I know it's for safety reasons.
Yeah.
People aren't allowed on now, but you used to be able to just sneak in under the fence and get out on the pitch and go and greet the players after they won or lost, you know?
Class.
Players are probably delighted that that's gone now. They don't have to be dealing with everyone coming in from the stands.
Okay, well, look, do you know what? We're going to get into the crux of the final in just a moment. We're speaking to Aoife Linsky and Aisling Marr, Cork and Galway in tomorrow's final, and we'll preview after the break.
The Saturday panel on Off the Ball.
You are very welcome back to Off the Ball Saturday. Phil Egan with you here until 5 o'clock. We are talking about the All-Ireland Senior Camogie Final. Galway and Cork will contest it for the third year in a row. We've got former All-Ireland winner with Galway, Aoife Linsky, and Dublin's Aisling Marr in studio. And let's get into it now. This is the serious stuff now, where we try and decide or work out who's going to win this game, because it's only a puck of a ball in it last year. You know, the year before was tight as well. And as I said earlier in the show, like, you need trilogies. And there's no doubt about it. I know you've been part of the championship this year, Aisling, but the two best teams are going to run out of Croke Park tomorrow.
Yeah, I think this is the best final we could have got. Having seen all the teams play throughout the championship, I definitely think, you know, the Cork and Galway, well, the rivalry, as you said, and the kind of history that's there obviously makes for great spectacle, and it's brilliant for the neutral. But also just the two most talented teams in the championship this year, without a doubt for me. So both there on merit, both deserving to be there, and I think they're going to give us a brilliant game. Like, even in comparison, the last couple of years, obviously a puck of the ball between them, a goal I think it was 2 years ago and a point last year, but I think they're more evenly matched this year than they have been even in previous years.
Yeah, I'd say both managers and management teams, Aoife, have spent the last couple of weeks just trying to just work out matchups, because like every little counts tomorrow. That it could be, you just get one matchup wrong and it could cost you.
Yeah, it's fine margins. Like, as you said, it's the trilogy, the kind of the finale. Galway took it last year when nobody gave them a hope. The year before, Cork kind of snuck it when Galway should have won it. So now it's like, it's ball game now for both. Like, but yeah, both managers, I'm sure, have their homework done and on where to, you know, tighten up the marking and stuff like that. And the couple of injuries from both sides might, you know, shake it up a little bit as well. But definitely the matchups are key in this one, and the free takers as well, I think, will have a big bearing on the game. So if they're both on fire, you know, I suppose both sets of backs have to be very kind of contained and watch themselves not to give away a freeze too handy, because both sets of backs are very, very tight as well, especially the both full back lines. And Galway haven't conceded a goal all championship. So that's something like you'd be saying, how I'm sure Cork are thinking, how in the name of God are we going to get through the full back line? But Cork's full forward line is their main threat.
Yeah. If there is a goal, like if Cork do, because goals just feel so big in games, especially, do we expect similar to last year where it could be quite low scoring? So a goal would just feel like a massive score.
I think both teams are going to kind of be cagey at the very, very start and see where they can. Crow Park is so open that it's whoever can make and utilise the space better on both sets of forwards. Because a lot of the time Cork have now started this game of kind of lumping together and then moving away to try and create space. But so do Galway. So how are they both going to counteract it? So I'm sure they've their homework done on that side of it. And like a goal in an All-Ireland final is worth, you know, its weight in gold. So we seen last year when Murray Dillon got that goal and that kind of got them over the edge.
Yeah, I think that full forward line in Cork and the full back line in Galway is going to be an unbelievable matchup. Like, obviously the three girls, Sorka McCartan and Orla Callahan and Amy O'Connor, three of the best forwards in the country at the minute, and the way they linked up against Tipperary was just unbelievable to watch. Like, between the three of them, the amount of talent, the amount of pace, the amount of ability they have, if ever there was a full forward line that's going to score goals, you'd have to back them. And then you flip that and you look at Galway's full back line, and you've, assuming they go the same, Rachel Hanafy, Roisin Black,
I think they will, yeah,
Dervla Higgins, and, you know, in my opinion, Dervla Higgins is one of the best backs in the country, and you'd give
she's
her anyone
swagger,
and
like,
yeah, and expect her to keep them quiet. So it'll be unbelievable if they manage to keep that Cork full forward line scoreless. But if any full back line in the country can do it, it's probably them.
So how do you think they'll match up with the three that the six players that you mentioned
in terms
of pairings?
Yeah, well, you probably have a better insight than me. Dervla is probably
Dervla's going the corner. She might take Amy O'Connor. Yeah. I think she'll take her. Although she would know, you know, the other two girls from Finbar's as well.
Yeah.
And they might be have that in the background as well, because they lost Tath and Rye in the final.
Yeah.
So that might be still a sore thing with them. That might be a driving force. But if they can get inside Roisin Black and that and get in on goals, but they'll have their work cut out for them both sides. It'll be tit for tat, like. But I do think Dervla will take Amy.
Yeah, especially because Amy might...
She's their top scorer as
well. Yeah, Amy might roam out that little bit as well. But then, like, you see Amy the last day, and that goal that she got, the first goal that she got, like, their touch is so clean. Two players around her, turns by the both of them. There's a third defender comes to her, steps inside her, and makes it look like they haven't even bothered to try and tackle her.
Yeah, she's able to make space, like, and her pace is top-notch as well. So from play and from place balls, she's going to be dangerous. But I think it's Galway's most consistent line, but it's also Cork's most consistent line. So how are they going to get the ball in and create space, and how are Galway's backs going to contend with it?
And I think you're right as well. Like, I think that you can't stop the full forward line for Cork. You actually just have to reduce the quality of the ball being delivered into them. And I thought that's what I was most disappointed with Tip about in the semi-final, is I thought they let, you know, Ash Thompson and Laura Hayes and some of these have way too much space and time on the delivery. And I know they're trying to probably drop Karen Kennedy and stuff back and close up that space. But Cork's full forward line are so effective that if you give time on that delivery, it doesn't matter if the ball being delivered is a 2v1 against them, they'll still get it in their hand. And like Amy does, they'll still get around a couple of players and get scores. So you have to get pressure on Cork further out the pitch.
Stop the supply.
Yeah, exactly. Or reduce the quality at least of it coming in, because those three girls in space are just, they're just brilliant.
Galway operate with a sweeper as well.
They do. Kira Hickey has been... I think it sometimes might be by default by other teams, kind of just numbers, the number 11 just gone out. But Kira kind of sits back no more than Maeve Murphy in the centre-back position for Cork. She's kind of new to that space as well. But I definitely think Ciara Hickey likes to be free, and Galway like to get her free as well. Mm-hmm. So if there is a spare player hanging around, they'll push somebody up on her and try and keep Ciara Hickey free. But it will be interesting to see Saoirse McCarthy on her. Like, she's an excellent player as well. And Ciara Hickey, she's been there just like last year, obviously, she won her All-Ireland, but she's a very young player.
Yeah.
And Galway's half-back line, no more than Cork's half-back line, are very, very new and young. So that's where probably, you know, it could be won or lost on both sides. We're saying, obviously, the full forward, I think they'll both nullify each other out, the full forward line and the full back line. But the half-back lines in both sides are quite inexperienced and new to it. But they're young. They're all kind of under 23s. I don't think it'll faze them, really.
Mm.
But it's just, can Saoirse McCarthy get on much ball? I think she's going to come out around the middle to get on ball. And Ciara Hickey won't follow her.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
keep and the ball away from the sweeper.
Ciara's coming in, having won player of the match in that Kilkenny game the last day. And, like, you know, you can be quite critical of Kilkenny, I suppose, and say if the sweeper on the opposition
team...
She's
like a magnet, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was. But, like, how much of that is because Kilkenny are just lumping ball up the pitch and she's reading it well, or how much of it is because she's very good at reading the ball and getting into position? And she definitely is.
Oh, definitely a bit of both.
Yeah.
You know, she is an excellent player. I remember her from minor just a couple of years ago. She's just very athletic and is able to read the ball for a young player.
Mm-hmm.
Kilkenny, they probably only got 2 or 3 points, I think, from play.
Yeah.
The rest were from frees. So, again, Galway might have to just contain the free count.
Yeah.
Because, obviously, Amy O'Connor or Saoirse McCarthy, whoever's going to be on the inside frees or the outside frees, will punish that all day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and works the other way as well.
Yeah.
Carrie Dolan.
Nerves of steel.
Yeah, absolutely. And, even the way that the game is refereed tomorrow could be a big thing as well, that there's going to be a lot of tough but fair hits going in.
Yeah, and Gavin Donegan's refereeing it. He's a great Dublin referee, and you know, I think he's brilliant. He's one of the best referees in the country, but he's very free flowing. You know, he's there to let the game be played, and as long as the ball's there,
you know him.
Yeah. He's done many a game for us in Dublin, obviously. But he'll be interested in a free flowing game, in letting the game go. And it's interesting because I think last year in the All Ireland final, that was my read on it, was that Galway came out and hit hard and were physical and really brought the intensity to Cork, and Cork were kind of standing back a little bit, looked like maybe it was being let go more than they had expected or they had experienced previously, and I thought they were a bit slow to respond and get up to Galway's level. So look, no doubt they'll have learned the lesson and the same thing won't happen tomorrow, but both teams need to be going out expecting it to be a free-flowing, hard-hitting game, because Gav won't give you anything less than that.
Does he talk to the players as the game's going on?
Absolutely, yeah.
Like some are very good at... Just talking. Others just, if you've done
it's worse
wrong.
When they don't, like,
yeah.
In fairness, referees do now kind of say, look, let it go. They might kind of half talk you through it,
yeah.
But maybe not in an All Ireland final, and you won't hear too much. But I think both teams will go at it really hard in the first few minutes, because it's kind of like, see what you can get away with.
Yeah.
And but I do think, like, we don't want to be talking about him tomorrow evening, you know, and hopefully that he has a great game as well.
Yeah.
But I think let it go.
Yeah.
We ask for physicality and
100%.
No,
and I don't think players complain about that when they know what they're getting. The only thing that's a bit funny, you're asking about talking to referees and stuff, is obviously the rule change with Camogie in the championship this year is that only the captain's allowed to speak to the referee. So no other player on the pitch, you know, it's nearly a rugby-esque rule. Like,
yeah, it seems to be across all sports now.
Yeah.
I think referees, maybe the feeling is they just get too much.
Yeah, now it's a bad decision, in my opinion, because... Like, your captain could be your cornerback, and if the ball's up in your corner forward, then do you know, what are you doing trying to get them to run up to have a conversation?
Yeah.
So I don't know that it's necessary. Absolutely, we need to advocate for players speaking respectfully to referees and officials. But I think generally speaking, the refs have been quite reasonable about it. And, you know, any of the games that I played, if there was an issue or something, you know, once you're speaking respectfully to them, they don't mind you having the conversation.
Yeah, just on the Cork team, obviously, that lost the final last year, there's been quite the turnover, and you know, there was injuries at the start of the season, the league. They went close to relegation.
Yeah.
But as the championship came along, they started to get players back.
Yeah.
You know, you've the under-23 team. So is there a chance that some of those younger players, like the occasion of tomorrow, is there a worry that that could be an issue?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
They're after winning their under-23 title as well. Cork for the first time. Obviously, it's only out 2 years or whatever. But I don't think it'll phase them at all.
I don't think
it's
so.
It's a new generation.
Yeah,
it doesn't phase you. But it doesn't.
Certainly not in the new generation. I don't know what you're talking about.
That generation.
I don't think so. I'd agree with Aoife there. I think Cork are enjoying the narrative that, you know, they're in a phase of transition and that this is a new team and that, you know, this is all, we're in bonus territory and nobody expected us to be here and we nearly got relegated in the league. I think that's a narrative that Cork are quite happy to spin because this is their first opportunity and, geez, when's the last time Cork went into a final as underdogs?
Yeah.
Like proper underdogs, I don't,
They've already beaten Galway in the Championship.
Yeah.
They did at the beginning, but they didn't have a great run, obviously, Cork in the, you know, in the league. They were, like, they were almost relegated, lost the quarterfinal to Tipperary, and Tipperary went on to win the Munster Championship. Mm-hmm. But since, and then they had a seven-week break before they played Galway. So it was almost like kind of like for like with Galway and Cork, because obviously we've no kind of, you know, provincial. So when they played each other, Cork might have been that little bit more kind of, but there was a couple of girls injured that day as well. I think Aisling Thompson was injured and maybe Maeve Cahillan that day against Galway. Mm. So it's going to be, like, it's so hard to call it this time. And like, you'd be saying, don't be sitting on the fence, but it is hard really to call it.
Anyone I've talked to this week, they can make a point for both case for both. And but if you put them on the spot, you can see that there's a look on their face where they're like, I don't know.
Yeah, it swings them around.
Yeah, no, it definitely is.
I suppose it'll come down to who manages to play to their strengths more. But I think, like, even much as we can sit here and talk about the Cork players who are gone from last year and the experience they've lost, and like, look, don't get me wrong, some unbelievable players there, you know.
Mackie Girls are gone, Mackie Sisters, Hannah Looney.
Yeah, Hannah, and obviously Laura, Tracy. Gone from six and all that. Yeah. Like, you know, they've lost a tremendous number of All-Irelands. I think it's more. I think it's seven.
But five out of the starting 15 from... starting team of last year.
Yeah. 14 from the panel, I think. But massive. Like, if you look at the players there, you take the team that they've named, I think there's 10 players on that team have played in one or more All-Ireland finals before. And I'm sure they have a list as long as your arm collectively of All-Irelands and All-Stars. So if you had any other team across the country coming in with the experience that Cork team have, you'd be saying, you know, like, they're coming and they've been there or thereabouts. Even the new ones, you look at like a Millie Condon or someone like that, like she's been around the panel, she's been up to Croke Park, she's done the All-Ireland final day, she's been there for a win, she's been there for a loss. Maybe she's not been in the 1-15, but like, it's not new territory for her. So.
Not really. I think she was actually playing out around the middle until Aisling Thompson came on, and now she's into the wing forward position. So she's very, very fast. Mm. And even though she's young and she's new, again, I think Croke Park would suit the likes of Millie Condon. You know, would make space for themselves. And again, young, they don't pass much remarks of it.
Yeah.
Well, if they've any issues, the Cork players, about what it'll be like, they just have to ask Aisling Thompson playing her 11th final.
Yeah, I know, Jesus. Yeah, some servant, isn't she? And like, you look at the last few years she's had, like the amount of service she's given to Cork, and obviously with the kind of change in the guard, with a lot of the Laura Tracy's and stuff gone after last year, like you couldn't have held it against her if she decided to call it a day and walk away. You couldn't suggest that she should have given anything else. But I think the Cork ones will definitely feel that her staying around for the extra year and kind of helping through this period of transition, as Cork are calling it, will have been worth
the championship transition.
Yeah,
but even what she's put herself through this year, with the elbow injury and then playing the semi final,
all that's off the back,
hamstring injury.
Well, we don't know how ACL as well.
I know, but we don't know how fit she actually is at the moment. Like, will she start in the middle of the field, or will she go in around the half forward line? Because she was carrying she was strapped up, and you definitely don't want to be.
Yeah, and she came off early, which is not like her to not finish out a game as well. So I don't know what's going on with the hamstring or how bad it is now. Like, I think she did unbelievably well to get back off that elbow, by all accounts. Yeah. It was a horrible injury, and to, you know, get back playing for any of it, never mind the last couple of games, has been an incredible achievement for her. But like, I guess you talk about her, you talk about Aoife Donoghue, you know, even Carrie Dolan was limping towards the end the last day. Like, what state those players are actually in will probably have a big impact. I think last year, Amy O'Connor was carrying a hamstring injury, was it, going into the final, and she definitely wasn't at 100%, and that definitely, you know, hampered
Cork a bit.
Might
affect you as well.
Some of these players are so good that even at 80%, they're better than the rest.
Yeah, but they're both teams are so good that if you have your big players only at 80%, that could be the little bit that swings it one way or another. So, look, as a neutral and as a supporter of the game, you want to see all these players playing, and you want to see them as close as possible to 100%.
If you're marking a player like that, or you're up against them,
you're hoping she's injured.
You're hoping she's carrying strapping.
You'll know it quick enough, though, I'm sure.
You
have a fair idea, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you will and you won't, I suppose.
You mean if she's injured?
Yeah, you'd know, like, there's something not right with her.
Yeah. Well, like, I think we saw the last day, Karen Kennedy obviously playing with Tip and had been out for, you know, a long layoff. And look, Karen's a phenomenal player, made it tough stuff. But like, you could see by her, she wasn't at 100% on the pitch the last day. So it depends, I guess, like you're saying, on positioning and what what they're trying to do and how they're trying to play the game.
Utilise them a little bit, like if they are injured. Obviously, if Aisling Thompson is as injured kind of as they're saying with the hamstring, like midfield isn't the place to be with a tight hamstring.
When we previewed this game during the week, we had Sarah O'Donovan on, and she referenced if she is put into the half forward line, it's just not her game. She prefers to
going forward,
the game's in front of you where you're back to goal. It's a different role.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, obviously, she'd still do it better than most.
Yeah.
Is that why Laura Hayes is out there, do you think?
Yeah, maybe put someone with a big engine beside her and Laura do the up and down, let Ash hold the middle of the pitch and let her kind of pin the ball and drift. Like, ideally, if you're operating not at 100%, you want to be somewhere where you're dictating when you go. You know, the last place you want to be is cornerback when you have to be tight onto somebody, whereas at least if you're up in the forwards, not that you can pick and choose when you go, but you have a little bit more control, and if you're being marked by someone else, then you're not worried about them getting away from you as much. So, I'd probably agree with Soddy on her point about Ash being better in midfield than in half forward. But yeah, maybe that is why they have Laura Hayes there. Let Laura do a bit more of the up and down. Obviously, Saoirse will drift out probably from 11 out towards midfield as well.
I think so, just to give a hand maybe.
So that might let Ash kind of play the game on her own terms a little bit more if she is not at 100%.
Maybe have her a bit freer. But yeah. I do think, because Laura Hayes, I think like she's been phenomenal for Cork. Like, but her best hurling, like I love her in the half back line. Mm. But maybe because Aisling Thompson was injured for a while, that she would have been the more experienced player there when Millie Condon was out around the middle. So, as you said, because she's slightly injured, maybe she's there to drift up and down and let Aisling kind of saunter around at her own pace.
But just in terms of the styles of the team, so Cork have a certain way of playing, you know, the way they move the ball. Mm-hmm. Galway would probably be a bit more defensive, and they
definitely this year,
so that clash of styles, you know, the Cork style of play seems a bit more high risk, as in more could go wrong with it. Now they're obviously so good at doing it that it rarely does go wrong, but that's going to be obviously Galway's game plan is to spoil it.
Well, I definitely think Galway this year in particular have gone literally more defensive. They're very, very tigerish now, and it's kind of once it gets out and there's space made, their amount of turnovers has been phenomenal, and they're getting scores then at the back of it as well as that, not conceding. And then obviously you need your scorers or your forwards up front to be scoring. But Cork, as you said, they play on the edge sometimes. Like I'd be watching them like, oh, you know, they're hand passing out over, but I think they've got out of that and they're, you know, one or two up through the channels and then straight down the kind of the flanks, trying to find space for the full forward line, the fast full forward line and the half forwards.
Yeah, I think if you're Cathal Murray, you have a decision to make, right? Because we've said and we know that Cork full forward line is so effective and they want to play in space. So they want to pull their half forward line out towards midfield. Saoirse McCarthy obviously plays high already, and they have good forwards who can shoot from distance. The likes of Ash, Laura Hayes, Saoirse McCarthy, Emma Murphy got four the last day. Yeah. So you can't leave those girls sit out at 65 yards out and leave them shoot. But if you're going to push up and mark them, then you're going to leave an ocean of space in front of that full forward line that we've said are deadly when they're given space. So I think, you know, there's a decision there for Cathal and his half-back line in particular of, do we push to mark and leave the space in behind and trust the girls to go one-on-one? In which case, you know, I think we're going to get some unbelievable battles in that full forward line. Or do we sit back and try and, you know, get maybe our half forward line to track back out and get pressure on the shooters to not let them get points away easy? So I don't know what the right answer is.
We can't tell till tomorrow. It's literally. But they will be told, I think, in the first couple of minutes. It'll be, you know, everybody will be very, very cagey for the first couple of minutes, which you have to be. And I think they're going to stick tight, 15 on 15. And then the game will start taking a life of its own after maybe 8 or 9 minutes when everything settles down and the nerves are kind of gone. Well, they probably won't go, but you know what I mean? The first couple of mistakes and stuff by either side. But it's going to be, as you said, if that space is created behind the half-back line, you know, it's going to be a ding-dong battle inside. That's why I think Ciara Hickey would like to kind of float back a little bit.
Mm-hmm. How long did it take for the nerves to wear off for you during the game?
For the whole day, you know yourself. My nerves still are. My nerves are shot.
They'll be shot tomorrow watching from the stand.
Oh, isn't it just? It's cruel. Like I just get so nervous even watching. Like even the Mayo game, like the football game, the last day, like there was 4 minutes left, and I said I can't stay looking at it. So I just asked one. There was a Mayo girl beside me. I said I have to get out. So I just literally got out and, you know, just went inside for just 2 minutes. Then I'm like, I'll stick 2 minutes. So I came back out and it was 2 minutes left. I was like, okay. But it is, it's nerve-wracking. Do you know, as a supporter and as somebody that just loves sport, it's just nerve-wracking. And you're always kind of for the underdog, but I'm hoping God it will be like flying tomorrow. But look, it's going to be a great spectacle no matter who wins. But, you know, we're still hoping for the win.
What about you as a player, Aisling? Just those big games.
Yeah. I'd much rather be on the pitch than off the pitch. I'm injured at the moment, and any time you're injured and on the sideline, or
it's worse.
Yeah, it's so much worse. Yeah, at least if you're on the pitch, like you might be nervous and you mightn't settle, but like the ball's there, so you have to go and do something, and it distracts you to a certain degree. And it's probably something as well that I think I've improved at as I've gotten older as a player. Like when I was younger, I think my approach was like blinkers on, block it all out, it's not happening. You know, it's just poking the ball down the back pitch by yourself type mindset. And you know, we switched in Dublin in the county championship to playing games in Parnell Park a couple of years ago. We played championship final on a Friday night in Parnell Park now under lights, and it's a brilliant spectacle. Like, and you know, we've been fortunate enough to play in the last four or so of them in there, and we get big crowds in at it and like volumes high, and like, you know yourself, when you walk out into a stadium and there's big noise, like you can't block it out anymore. And I kind of like remember getting to a point maybe a little bit later in my career, and you kind of go, I'm not sure how many of these I'm going to get, and to your point earlier, you know, it might be your last one. So you have to get to a point where you learn to soak it in a little bit and enjoy it a bit and kind of feed off the energy and the atmosphere of the crowd. And obviously the trick is to be able to do that, to give yourself energy, and then park it if you're hitting freeze or doing something where you need to be a bit calm and composed for it. But when I work out how to do that, I'll let you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, Ryan O'Donoghue, who was on the show earlier, in the, like, there's every chance he's going to be the footballer of the year, and he's talking about how he was so nervous before the final, and he didn't play like that. But I always think when they line up for the parade, it's almost like this has gone up a level. Like,
when you even watch them, it's like you'd nearly go into bed. It's like literally you'd be that nervous, you know, between even like club matches and whatnot. And I think as you get older, as you've been involved with it, like I got worse. I don't remember being too nervous as kind of a youngster, but then as you get older, maybe you put more pressure on yourself when at the end of the day, it's the same size Schlitter, it's just a game. But I suppose you're trying to try, maybe it's just internal pressure, but I think most of those girls are well with sports psychologists and everything. I think it's so important that they're well tuned and well primed, like, for the occasion, so that it's not that big of an occasion. Now it's another game, but it is, like, the stakes are high tomorrow. It's an All-Ireland final.
It's just as they walk around the pitch, I just always wonder what is going through the minds of a player there. Is there anyone that has some sort of a coping mechanism where they think of their happy place?
Yeah, I think a lot of the time players now are just kind of breathing. You'll see a lot of them breathing, and sometimes they're tapping the chest. There's coping mechanisms as they go around, because that's an awful lot of, it's like it could be 10 or 12 minutes of like sheer kind of nervous energy. And it's an awful thing on a player, that nervous energy. But I think the minute the ball is thrown in and you get into kind of a tackle, or the couple of drills before literally you go on the pitch, you kind of hitting off each other and just getting the energy out, and kind of works well for them.
Just on the managers, we haven't really talked about the managers that much. Cathal Murray took over in 2018, going for four All-Irelands now. What a job he's done.
Yeah, he's been at the helm now, as you said, since 2018. And he's inherited, I said before, just a brilliant crop of players that just need to be, I suppose, managed in the right way. And they've been lucky and unlucky. So it's kind of been a mixed bag down through the last few years. But just a brilliant group to have. And he keeps everything very close to his chest. He won't give anything away too much. He's unemotional. Is that the word you'd use? And you can't tell much by Cathal, but I suppose maybe that's a good thing for him. And it's keeping the girls very, very calm and composed. And he keeps them away from the limelight as well. You know?
And he's also been very quick to talk down the back-to-back.
Oh yeah, there won't be mention of it. But do you know what? There isn't a mention of it in the change room. And that's been honestly. And there never is in, like, you might hear it could be somebody's first All-Ireland and the talks of making history, or there never is much talk, genuinely. And I'm sure, and Cork said it, because I was talking to the Cork girls as well, they said there was never a mention of the three in a row, but somebody has to be thinking about it at the background. He can think about it, but it's not being put onto the players, like, you know, winning the double, because, or win, like, back-to-back, because some players haven't been there. So for some it's a first, you know, for some it'll be their fourth title, you know, for some it'll be the fifth. So it just, it depends on, I suppose it depends on the manager's stuff, but a lot of the time it's never brought into the changing room. And I don't know what you think about that, Ash, but it's never mentioned back-to-backs or, you know, like making history. But it can creep in through, you know, the white noise and media outside of it making a narrative.
Yeah,
bloody media.
Ash, stop. Terrible.
I think it is does have an impact in some way. At the very least, like we looked at last year and obviously Cork going for the 3 in a row, and you know, I do think that that played into the heads of the Cork girls. I think even the amount of them that were kind of staying on for another push at it. You look at Hannah Looney going down to Australia, like I'm sure she could have gone 5 years ago if she wanted to. And part of the allure is being able to achieve something like that. So it's a small thing in the backs of individuals' minds, maybe. Granted, absolutely, management will keep it out of a dressing room, yeah, and it won't be a motivating factor for the group. But it definitely is something that can be used by the opposition, or the opposition management at least. And like, I think Cathal Murray did that incredibly well last year in his narrative going into the final, being, you know, everyone's back in Cork and no one's given us a chance and we've been written off. And, you know, he used that really effectively last year. And at the very least, he doesn't have that this year. So the back-to-back at the very least means that he can't go in claiming we're underdogs and Cork are the favourite, much as he's trying to.
Nobody's believing it.
Now, what he's done incredibly well, as we mentioned earlier, is shift the focus in the media in the week leading up to it from the back-to-back to Shauna Healy and her return and her coming back after having her second child only 4 months ago, and how incredible is that? So, you know, he's very smart in how he manages these things, but I'd say he's well aware that the back-to-back is something that could detract or could add pressure or could, you know, be a distraction for his players, and he's managing that as best he can.
I'm sure he's definitely thinking about it, but it's like I said, it wouldn't be brought into the changing room, but that's not to say that every player in there isn't thinking about it in the back of their heads, but it wouldn't be it wouldn't be brought up.
And then from the Cork side of things, you know, they were in Galway's position last year where they were, the target was on their backs. And now you go from being the hunted to the hunter. So if you're Ger Manley, you think back to, like, all you have to say, like, the devastation of how they lost the final last year. Like, to get the goal and 14 players, they played the whole second half of 14 players. And to get the goal, you think this is going to go to a draw. Or a replay even. And then the late free, like, to lose a final like that. So if you're Cork camp, you just think that's what motivates you. Don't let this happen again.
And like, it's, again, to add that extra layer, it's not just a final loss, it's a 3 in a row loss. So for, you know, some of the girls who had, who would have had multiple All-Irelands and multiple All-Stars, you're taking away the opportunity of ever getting to achieve that 3 in a row in their career. So I think it's a big loss for them last year. Like you said, having a bit of a slow start, getting back into it despite being 14, you know, the free they gave away at the end, you'd nearly give that to any other team, but unfortunately Galway have debatably the best free taker in the country. So, you know, she did unbelievably well to execute under the pressure, never mind the fact that technically it was a difficult free as well. So Cork will feel they have a point to prove, for sure. No doubt that's part of the reason that a lot of them who've hung around have done, especially like the some of the Finbar's girls and stuff, you know, that had obviously had long seasons with the club to come back in with Cork and play County again. They're obviously there because they believe that they can do it, and there's some rights to wrong, or some wrongs to right, I should say. But it'll be interesting to see. I think that Cork will use that to their advantage, and they'll relish the opportunity to go in chasing rather than being chased.
Because we see it so often that a so-called underdog, or a team that has something to right from a wrong of the previous season, just plays with that extra tenacity, even though they shouldn't, because there's no... The favourites or the defending champions aren't going out purposely to play not 100%. They're going to give it 100%, but sometimes it's just the way it works out. Sports, it's just, you often hear, oh, the other team wanted it more than us.
But everybody wants it. Do you know, everybody wants it, and sometimes people say as well, like, the team that wants it the most will win it, but like, everybody really wants to win it. And like, at the end of the day, it's who scores the most tomorrow and who goes at it as hard as they can. But Galway, I don't think they'll be thinking too much about it, like I said, but Cork would be very, very hurt, I'm sure, from last year, because it was a complete shock to anybody other than, you know, the few people that would have known the Camogie team well and backed them. We definitely seen a difference when chatting to the likes of Aoife Donoghue just before the All-Ireland final last year. It was like, it's going to be a sting in their tail now. They're really, you know, Galway are ready to take this back, because they were hurt from the year before when they should have won it. Or there I go, should have won it. So who should have won it? But you know what I mean. So Galway or Cork have a nice narrative now. You know, they're just, they're getting their team together, and you know they had a bad campaign, but Cork or Cork, like it's a two man race at, like I said, for the last couple of years between Cork and Galway.
It could keep going because maybe that's why the two managers are trying to play down the trilogy. Because they're thinking, sure, there could be another one next year.
Mm. Well, I sincerely hope there isn't. I hope someone else.
No, but it would be nice. It would be nice. But there's going to be like the same winner, you know. It's either Cork or Galway, obviously, on Sunday. And it is nice for Camogie. And we've spoke about this on how, like, is the gap widening? I think the chasing pack the gap is widening. But why is that? Like, is it down to development or, you know, I don't know.
Well, they changed the structure this year. Mm-hmm. And somebody that's played in it, what do you think?
Yeah, I would give them a lot of credit for changing it and for trying something different. So they put the four semi-finalists from the previous year into one group and then the other six into a second group. And there's a lot of merit to that. And, like, there's a lot of, you know, you can see the intention behind it. We had incidences in previous years where you might get a top team playing one of the lower ranked teams, you know, someone who'd previously been in an All-Ireland final playing someone who was just up from intermediate and they could put up cricket scores against them, and that's not good for either team, for development.
Yeah,
no. It also means that, you know, if you're a middle of the table team, you have every chance to get out, right? Beat the teams who are in or around your level and you have an opportunity to get to the quarterfinal. I think that's really a really good side of that as well. Having played in it, I think it really stacks against the group of six. I think there's so much more expected of them than there is of the group of four. And I understand that there has to be benefit to having been in an All-Ireland semi-final and you want to reward the teams that are at the top. But you also want to give the chasing pack an opportunity. And for me, you see from the likes of you know, ourselves, Kilkenny, Clare, teams who are coming out of group two are playing five games in 6 weeks and six games in 7 weeks if they end up getting to quarterfinal. And you don't play that quantity of matches without picking up injuries. And for those teams, you're then getting to the latter stages of the group games or a quarterfinal without a full bill of health and at very best with a lot of miles on the clock and, you know, a lot of fatigue built up from the previous few weeks. On the flip side then, if you're one of the teams that's in the group of four, you know, we saw Tip qualify for a quarterfinal having not won a game the whole way through the championship.
Yeah.
And to me, that's not right. There should be some jeopardy in that group one, whether that's some kind of a backdoor system that if you're bottom of group four, you play someone who finishes middle of group two or something like that to get to a quarterfinal. But I don't think you should be in knockout championship without having won a match. I don't think that's right.
Yeah, and I suppose the only way you're going to close the gap if you're the chasing pack is to play the best teams. Mm-hmm. And you know then where the mark is. Mm. How do you close the gap? And you play them 1 year and you lose by 10 points. The next year it's down to four, and then maybe the next year you run them even closer. So how do we get to that stage? Like, it was only a couple of years ago Dublin were in a semi-final, and I suppose the goal for you then is to push on. Like the next goal for after a semi-final is a final.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, like, I think that you're dead right. I think we need to be playing. Like, we didn't play any of Cork or Galway or Tip or Waterford this year, who were the top four teams.
And you want to be playing these teams.
Yeah, you want to be playing them, absolutely. And, you know, I don't think that we'd be that far off them if we were playing them. And, you know, the flip side of that as well is, like, if you're on the other side of it, so, say, Cork, for example, we talked about Ash Thompson picking up a really serious injury earlier in the year, and, you know, Cork could afford to not play her for any of their round games because they know they're getting through anyway. Whereas if that happened to a big player in Dublin, we couldn't afford to not play her for any of the round games because if you're losing them, then you've no opportunity to go through. So, you know, I think it just creates an easier road for the top teams and a harder road for the bottom teams.
And I suppose, look, it's good that they try something different.
Absolutely,
and
yeah.
Tweaks can be made.
Yeah.
After, obviously, they'll review it after this season.
I
would hope the current players, including yourself, are given a chance to give feedback.
Yeah. I hope so too.
and former players.
Yeah, and I absolutely agree with what you're saying. I think it's great that they've tried something different. They've made a change. As I said, I would have been a big advocate for the structure at the start of the year. I'm not claiming that, you know, it was obvious the parts of it that I think could be improved were not obvious to begin with. I think it's it's great to try something new, and I can see what they're trying to do, and there is merit to it. But like you say, I hope there's an opportunity for feedback and maybe some tweaks going into next year.
Just on the other games tomorrow, because obviously we talked about the fact that there's the three games. So it's going to start at midday, Cavan Armagh, the Premier Junior final, and then we've got Laois and Antrim in the intermediate final. And how do you think those will go?
Yeah, they'd be good games. Like we mentioned earlier, it's a huge occasion for Cavan to get to that final. You know, they've really struggled to consistently field a Camogie team this year and in previous years. So, you know, a huge result for them to be there, coming up against an Armagh team who probably on the flip side have been together much more consistently over the last couple of years. Obviously, they've been there last year. So it'll be a big ask for Cavan, I think, to get up to it. But, you know, there's talented players in that Cavan team. You know, a lot of, we were talking earlier about geo players. Cavan's probably one of the counties that do have a couple of them still.
Like a lot of runners, like I've seen them playing in the championship. There was doing one of the games, and they're very, very good. Cavan are good, but obviously you come up against a northern team. They're so physical, and they're well honed as well. Mm-hmm. They'll be hoping to kind of take that title. But like again, Cavan being the underdogs, you never know what will happen or how they'll take the occasion.
Yeah.
So it should be a great game as well, and hopefully there'll be great crowd in. I think there'll be great crowds in for those games as well. So, but it'll be a cracker.
Yeah, and then obviously you've Laois and Antrim. That's the intermediate final at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, it'll be a good game. I think, you know, Antrim are probably a Division One team, truth be told. Elaine Dowds, who's over Antrim, would have been involved with Dublin Camogie previously, and you know, she's a great manager, a great coach. Like, she's very, very well used to all those Antrim girls. She's a school teacher up there and would have had a lot of them. Roisin McCormick and a lot of the big Antrim players would have gone through the school system with her, Maeve Kelly, and you know, she'd know those girls really well. She's put in an awful lot of time them. Curtis, who's the S&C up there, you know, will have them well fit and well primed. I think they're going to be very, very difficult to beat. Obviously, Laois have been in a number of finals over the last couple of years and have some very strong players, and won't make it easy for them. But I think if you're Antrim, anything short of a win tomorrow is a disappointing result.
And it is funny, a lot of the northern teams as well have women over them that are involved in schools, Camogie, so they know them inside out, as you said, and they've been well primed. They pump an awful lot of you know, resources into the S&C, so especially in the northern schools. So you can see it kind of bearing fruit now. And I think, as you said, nothing more than a win for Antrim will be. But I'm sure Laois aren't going up to make numbers either. Mm-hmm. And they have a lot of sisters involved in that as well. There's kind of one or two clubs in particular. Mm-hmm. And that should be another great game as well. But we're hoping that they'll all be great games. But nobody, like players themselves, don't care how good the spectacle is to look at once you go home with the medal in your back pocket. So they're not too kind of worried about how the game goes once they're on the winning side of it.
And then that leaves us to the senior final. We've talked about it. We've kind of tried to work out how things will play out. But to pick a winner, could we get a draw?
We could get a draw. I've been on and off the fence all week. And then, you know, you're writing down the teams and you're looking at both sides and both sets. And both have pros and cons with their layouts. But I just think that Galway have, well, now on paper, you know, that Galway might have a slight edge tomorrow, just with the one or two injuries with Cork and Aisling Thompson and stuff, and the half-back line being relatively new with Cork, even though Galway do as well, but they're a little bit more primed. I'm going to go Galway to shade it if it's not a draw. Is that okay?
That's okay, yeah.
I'm going to say Galway to shade it, and that's not just being from Galway. I just feel they have a slight, but there could be a sting in Cork's tail as well. Asher, look at it. I don't know. Draw.
Quarter past 4, throw the ball in and just see what happens.
Yeah. You can't say anyone but Galway, you'll be in the bad books.
Exactly.
Yeah, they'll be there, they'll be texting you going, I heard you saying.
Yeah. Oh, I got, don't worry, I got.
Maybe on the way up, people are saying, you know what, talk us down.
Yeah.
Galway aren't going great at the minute. Now we're in transition.
Yeah, we're in transition. Yeah. What do you think, Ash?
Yeah, I was chatting to Elaine Aylward yesterday. I think she said 1981 was the last time there was a draw in the Camogie final. I mightn't have that year right now, but it's a long
time. That actually sounds right.
Does it? Yeah. Okay. We'll give her credit for that. Yeah. So, like, you know, statistically, you'd nearly say, is it time? Is there one due? But no, I won't sit in the fence. So I'll make a decision. Which one I'll make, I'll decide through talking here now. But you definitely, like, you really can talk it either way. I think in previous years, whether we gave right predictions or wrong predictions, there was more obvious, you know, reasoning and answers. Whereas this one, I do feel is going to be really tight. I think, you know, hopefully the injuries don't play a part in it. If some of the players we've discussed already are carrying knocks or niggles, I think Galway have a better bench probably than Cork do, and more on it. You know, we didn't even mention Niamh Mallon at all, and the fact that she didn't feature in the semi-final, but like, whether she comes in off the bench or whether she starts, she'd be some player to be adding into the fold off that semi-final performance. I think having watched the two semi-finals back-to-back, the second one was undoubtedly a higher intensity, a better standard, better hurling. For me, the first 30 minutes that Cork played that day were just second to none. Like, they were so efficient, their hurling was so good, they looked like anything but a team in transition. Like a team that have been playing
half,
together for years.
The second half, would that be a concern that they, was it 5 points they scored in the second
half?
Yeah,
yes.
Is it hard?
Were they ever really in major trouble?
They never looked.
You know, you've almost done the job.
Second gear. Yeah. Like, I think if it really came down to it, they'd pull the plug. But that can sometimes be Cork's downfall. Mm. They leave a team in it. And if you leave a team in it, and especially if you leave a team like Galway in it, like you've the likes of Éilis O'Reilly there has come back, she didn't play in the league. And of course, Aoife Donoghue, who loves Croke Park, has had quite each season so far. With, you know, slightly injured there in the last few weeks, but I mean, she's a girl for the big day. Mm-hmm. So, how are they going to contain her? Mm-hmm. Do you know?
Yeah, no. There's like, you know, it's not going to be an easy task for either of them. There's no clear answer. I think, yeah, if I have to make a call one way or another, I definitely wouldn't rule out a draw, but I think Cork will shave it. I just think that.
Of course, you do.
I think much as Cahill's done a great job of managing the narrative and the media and everything else around it, I do think that the back to back is going to weigh on the Galway girls a little bit. And I think that the ability to have that reduced pressure for the Cork girls going in with, you know, the narrative that they've spun of this is a new team and a team in transition takes a little bit of pressure off them. I think particularly, you know, the Finbar's girls up front, Orla Callahan and Sorka McCartan are just so efficient at linking up, and I think
I was told I was saying her name wrong all this time. It's Sorsha, not Sorka. I keep calling her Sorka McCartan. So there you go, we have it sorted now.
You get it right eventually.
Yeah, she's brilliant.
Yeah, I just think, you know, girls win games, especially in Croke Park, and I fancy that full forward line to get one. So I wouldn't be betting anything on it now, but I had to call it.
Declan from Offaly is texting on WhatsApp on 0879180180. He's gone for Galway, but he also says Cavan and Laois, so that's his treble for tomorrow. Cavan, Laois and Galway for wins tomorrow. Great day ahead. And it really will be a great day ahead. And I mentioned when you arrived in studio that the weather we have in Dublin looks like it's going to carry into tomorrow. And, I mean, I mentioned Carrie, like the free taking, the conditions will be perfect for tomorrow.
Yeah, not that it makes any difference to her.
I don't think it matters, hail, rain or snow, but it'll be a great spectacle tomorrow with the weather, with the stadium itself, and then all of the development girls under 14s, they're all invited back from all counties, so that'll bring about 2,000 girls, and they get to march around the field, so that'll be lovely as well for them. I think there'll be a great atmosphere with the entertainment and stuff like that, and just to encourage people to come out, and as you said, we could nearly give away tickets for free to get them in, like, but it's our national sport and we have to support it. You know, and that's all. That's how we can hope for tomorrow and a good game.
Yeah,
well, Galway by one.
Well, I think you've teed it up lovely over the last hour. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak to both you, Ashmar and Aoife Linsky. And yeah, just roll on tomorrow, and we'll see what happens.
Exactly.
You know, whatever we said might happen, it mightn't happen,
and it could take a game of its own.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, just roll on tomorrow. I think we'll take an ad break now. Cheers.
The Saturday panel on Off the Ball.